Good morning, dear brothers and sisters. How many of you are here to celebrate your wedding anniversaries? Please stand, those of you who are celebrating your wedding anniversaries this year. Well, that's wonderful. Congratulations and welcome to the cathedral. You may be seated. How many of you have never been to the cathedral before today? Just raise your hands. Quite a number. Well, you know, the cathedral is the mother church of all of us who belong to the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. So this is your church, as well as the church of the parishioners who actually live in this neighborhood. So please don't be strangers. Now, if you've been married 25 years and have lived in Philadelphia all that time and never been to your cathedral, you should do something about that. We should always make this a place of special welcome for all those who are members of our Archdiocese. And just as the priests who serve you in your parishes are the pastors of your parish, the archbishop is the pastor of our church. The church is another name for the church here is the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. That's the name of our church. Some of you belong to St. Agnes Parish or St. Mary's Parish or Assumption Parish, but the church you belong to is the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And the reason why you're here today is because it's very important for the pastor of your church, namely the Archbishop, to celebrate with you on this wonderful occasion of your 25th, 30th, 40th, 50th, 55, 65, whatever it might be, anniversary. So I'm very, very happy to be your pastor and to celebrate with you today. There are two things I'd like to do. I'd like to reflect on today's gospel and then talk about the meaning of marriage in the church. So I'm not going to do what I usually do, which is to preach about all the readings. I'm just going to preach about today's gospel. There are many instances in the Gospel of St. John, and today's passage is taken from the St. John's Gospel, where Jesus will speak about himself in images. Last week he said, or the week before, I forget which, he said, "I am the good shepherd." So the image we're supposed to have on our mind when we think of Jesus is that he's the shepherd who cares and cares for us and protects us. At another place in St. John's Gospel, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." You know, the Easter candle is a great symbol during the Easter season of Jesus, the light, bringing light to our darkness. And so that's another image of our relationship with Jesus. Jesus told his disciples and tells us, "I am the bread of life." That means Jesus is the one who nourishes us in the journey of our life through the bread of the Eucharist, the body and blood of Christ, which we receive in Holy Communion, but also the bread of his word, which is fed to us every time we gather for the celebration of Mass. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life." So even now, those of us who are baptized share in the risen life of Jesus, because Jesus is all about life and resurrection and light, and not about death or darkness and sin. But the image Jesus uses to speak to us today about himself and our relationship with him is an agricultural image that those of us who grew up in a city might not be very much aware of. For example, how many of you have vines with grapes in your backyard? One, two, three, you know. It's not something we commonly have here in Philadelphia. I don't think grapes do very well, except here, the kind that you make wine from, at least. We don't have a major wine industry in Pennsylvania that I'm aware of. Now, if you're selling wine, you may want to correct me on that. Okay. But it was a common image in Jesus' time because everyone had grapevines in their yard. And when Jesus says that, "I am the true vine," people had an image of something that was important in their life. And they understood right away the relationship between the vine and the branches. And if you're broken off from the vine and you're a branch, you wither up and you die. So let's explore this image that Jesus has for us in today's gospel. He begins by saying, "I am the true vine." Now, what would that mean? Are there false vines? No. In the Old Testament, When God spoke to his people about his relationship with them, an image that he often used in the prophets was the image of a vineyard, that the people of Israel, the whole people, saw themselves as the vineyard of the Lord. And he protected this vineyard, and he cultivated it, and he looked for grapes and fruitfulness. But Jesus changes things. Instead of referring to us as the vine, he refers to himself as the true vine. In other words, that he's the one who connects us to the Father. It's through Jesus that the love of the Father, the life of the Father, comes to us. And he describes his Father as a vine dresser. To dress vines means to prune them. Now, why do you prune any kind of vegetation? Well, there's many reasons. One of the reasons is the health of the vine or the health of the tree. You cut out the dead wood, right? When you have a tree guy come in and trim your trees, what he's doing is cutting out, sometimes what he's doing is cutting out the dead wood, giving new life to the tree or to the vines. Another image, another rather important element of pruning, was to give shape to the vine. You know, otherwise it might go off in all different directions, and you prune the vine in order to get it to grow where you want it to grow. Or you trim a tree so it looks like you want it to look, rather than just going wild. And so pruning is done to shape the plant. Another reason for pruning is to enhance the fruit or the flowers. A very common flower in the spring of the year, I'm risking something here because I've only been in Philadelphia for a few months here, but where I come from, back in Kansas and in Colorado and in South Dakota, where we worked as a bishop, a peony plant is really common this time of year, especially at cemeteries. Is that true here too? You know, peonies are those beautiful white or pink or red flowers. If you prune the buds on a peony plant, and usually there's four or five on a stem, you take off three or four of them and you leave just one, the flower is really beautiful. If you leave them all together, you get a bunch of small flowers. If you prune a vine and cut off the excessive clumps of grapes, what do you get? Really big and juicy grapes. And so one of the reasons you do pruning is to enhance the beauty of the plant, but also to make it more fruitful or to make the flowers more beautiful. And Jesus tells us that his Father is like a pruner who enters into the life of each of us through Jesus and prunes us to give us what? Better health? To make sure our life is growing in the right direction rather than in the wrong direction that most of us stray into, and to make us more fruitful. And so pruning is a good thing, right? But we don't like it, especially if the pruning is strong and heavy. Sometimes the Lord uses a chainsaw in our lives rather than those small pruning shears, right? And at those moments, life becomes very difficult. But if we really do know that the Father loves us in Jesus Christ, even if we have those terrible moments of pruning, it might be the death of a spouse or a personal illness or the loss of a job or, you know, just that we have a struggle in our marriage because we haven't been very loving and faithful to each other. If we allow the Lord to prune us and to shape us, we will develop into the kind of branches that he really wants us to be. So with all that in mind, let's listen to what Jesus says in today's gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, that's to us, right? Because we continue to be the disciples of Jesus in our time. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. Jesus goes on to say, remain in me as I remain in you. He's talking about the connectivity between the vine and the branches. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own unless it remains on the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Now, Jesus uses the word remain 5 or 6 times in this gospel. And the word, if you translated it, you know, from the Greek in a literal kind of way, it doesn't mean just hang around. It means to abide. I guess they didn't use that in this translation because we don't use that word in English very much anymore. To abide, what does it mean? It means to dwell in a permanent, regular way, not just occasionally. And Jesus is telling us we're not going to bear fruit unless we remain in him, unless our relationship with him is important, it's substantial, it's at the center of who we are. And if we don't have that kind of relationship, if we don't have that kind of connectivity with the Lord Jesus, we're going to wither and die, just like a branch will do that on the vine. He goes on to say, anyone who does not remain or abide in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me, and my word remains in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Now, there's two elements to remaining in the Lord on the vine. One of them is to remain, to abide. But the second thing is to be fruitful. It's not enough for us as Christians to have a personal relationship with Jesus. To be fruitful means you grow, right? Like your marriage is fruitful if you have children, or if your love for one another produces good works that you do as a couple. It's not enough just to love one another. Christian life is about producing fruit, and good fruit. And God's going to prune us so that that happens. So examine your life. Are you just remaining in the Lord, or are you also bearing fruit? Because both of those are required in order for us to be true disciples of the true vine, which is Jesus Christ himself. Okay, now let's apply this to your marriage. First of all, let's talk about marriage. Marriage is a sacrament. Those of us who are older, I mean, if I were a married person, I would imagine that I would be celebrating, oh, somewhere about 45th anniversary maybe, you know, certainly more than 40 years, maybe 45th anniversary. And so those of you who celebrate 40 or maybe 35 or 40 years of marriage will understand the question I'm asking you. In the Baltimore Catechism, what is the answer to this question? What is a sacrament? A sacrament is an outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace. See? Great memories we have. Those sisters really knew how to teach us, sister. Thank you. There's a sister over here that probably was a teacher. So many of them were for us. But let's look at all three parts of that. A sacrament is an outward sign. That means something you can see with your eyes. Instituted by Christ means Jesus set it up to give us grace. Now, the word grace is a complex notion. It's theoretical, but what it would an image we might use to understand grace is a sap that comes from the vine to the branches. And if you don't get that juice, that sap, which is a sharing in the life of the plant or the vine, you wither up and die, right? And grace is like the sap in a plant. And the sacraments are the connecting points between ourselves and the life of Jesus Christ and the life of God. And if we celebrate the sacraments, we get a transfusion of new life, just like we get a transfusion of blood in a hospital. But that new life is the life Jesus won for us in his death and resurrection. So you see, the sacraments are moments when Jesus floods our lives with his grace because of the connectivity between ourselves and the vine, which is Christ. Now, in the sacrament of baptism, the outward sign of the sacrament is water, right? Jesus comes to us through the water of baptism. He washes away our sins and he gives us new life. In the Eucharist that we'll be celebrating today, the sign that we can see is bread and wine. And Jesus takes that bread and wine and transforms it into his body and his blood and nourishes us with new life. In the sacrament of matrimony, which we're celebrating the anniversaries of today, what is the thing that Jesus uses to come to us and give us his grace? In baptism, is it water? At Mass, it's the bread and wine. What is it in marriage? It's your love for your spouse. God comes to you through the love of your spouse, and in that love, gives you a share in his new life. And he doesn't do that just once on the day you got married. He does that all the time. And the reason we get married is what? In order to find someone to help us get to heaven. Did you know that? Is that the reason you married your wife or your husband? Probably not. You married her because she was beautiful. But the reason you should get married is because you want someone to help you get to heaven. I will never have that help. You know? In the gospel, Jesus says, in heaven there'll be no marriage, nor giving in marriage. So marriage is about this life, right? And it's about helping your spouse get to heaven, to be a sacrament of the presence of God's love in their life. Wives, you should see in the way your husband loves you the way Christ loves you. And wives and husbands, you should see in the love that your wife has for you the love that Christ has for you. But sometimes, instead of being those connectors to the life of God, we are obstacles. It's in the relationship between husband and wife that the real problems exist. That in your relationship, you cut off your relationship with God because you don't have a loving relationship with one another. And those of us in the church have a right to look at each one of your marriages and say, oh, that's what the love of God is like for us. The way he loves his wife is the way that God loves us. The way she loves her husband is the way that God loves us. So what a privilege you have to be the instruments of God's grace in the life of your spouse. And what a duty you have to be a sign of the presence of God and his love for us in the heart of the church, for those of us who aren't married, or for other people who are married. So marriage is a serious business, right? It's a very serious thing. It's a way you work out your salvation. And it's a way you stay connected with Jesus, who is the vine. Now, today we celebrate anniversaries, 25, 30, 40, 50, whatever it might be. And one of the wonderful things about the Catholic Church, and we hear this in today's second reading, I shouldn't start talking about the other readings, I'll go on forever, but in that reading, St. John tells us that God's love is greater than our hearts, that even if we don't remember our sins, God forgives them, because God is extraordinarily merciful. And the reason I say that is today is the start of your marriage again. If you're having problems, you know that the Lord always gives you a fresh start. And when we gather to celebrate an anniversary, we celebrate two things. We look to the past in gratitude for all that happened, for our children, for meeting one another, whatever it might be, for our parents and who brought us into the world. But the most important part of an anniversary isn't just remembering the past. It's committing yourself to have a better future. It was the anniversary of your birth, you try to be a better human being. If it's the anniversary of your ordination, you try to be a better priest. If it's the anniversary of your marriage, you try to be a better spouse. So help one another. Let this be a moment of conversion and change. Now, this is really important. I think one of the biggest reasons we don't change is because we're embarrassed to admit that we were wrong. And if your husband, because of his celebration of your anniversary today, decides, dear ladies, that he's going to be a kinder, gentler husband tomorrow, don't say to him, see how wrong you were before. I'm glad you finally changed your ways. Because if you do that, he's not going to change. You know, you should welcome conversion, right? And husbands, if your wives stop nagging you tomorrow because of our celebration today, you shouldn't say, well, it's about time. You know, you should welcome that quietly and joyfully so that your life together will really be a progress in the love of the Lord. The Lord always wants us to start over again. He gives us the grace of conversion. And the wonderful grace of conversion that comes to you in this celebration is the conversion of your relationship with your spouse in the sacrament of marriage. And our prayer is that God will bring to completion the good things He begins in your lives today. Okay? At the end of the prayers of the faithful, which we have in a few minutes after our creed, I'll give a special blessing to those of you who are celebrating your anniversaries. And we ask the Lord to make that blessing real in the transformation of your lives.